Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 7th of October 2021. It's a Thursday class. So we will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 439, last paragraph. Okay, just relax body and mind, then silence everything and maintain some power awareness. Then we will have our usual half an hour of awareness space meditation. We are off the light so that you all can commence your awareness space meditation. Just relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then silence everything and just meditate. The purpose of awareness-based meditation is very simple. We are here to train our mind so that it does not think, it does not wander off, so that it's relaxed and it can allow the mundane mind to settle down. So that you can realize your true mind. Your true mind is the awareness nature within you. And when you realize it, you will know what it is. Sometimes we call it the silent mind, which is also meditative mind. And that is the true mind, the mind that is without the thinking. Without the sankhara activity, without the aggregates of mind, the mind which is naturally aware, nothing else. So realize that, stabilize the awareness nature within, and use it to develop understanding, to meditate, to observe, and to understand clearly what is going on within our form and mind, so that we can understand who are we, what are we, and how we function as a human being, and what is this so-called form and mind all about. It is only through this understanding that we come to know clearly the secret of life. All of the nature's law that governs life and existence, including realizing our own form and mind, developing what we call self-knowledge. When we realize this form and mind is not what we think, then we awaken. We are no longer deluded. We break free from the scarcity or self-delusion that has grasped living being or deluded living being for so long. So meditation is to train our mind to develop the inner awareness within, stabilize it, to develop understanding and wisdom. Okay, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then you all can continue your meditation. There is a Tsuchi commissioner who often went to visit and console one of her donating members who had been diagnosed with depression. This woman told her, "I'm very worried." "What are you worried about?" "I don't even know what I'm worried about. Perhaps I'm worried that my husband's business will fail or that my children's grade will not be good enough. I just worry every day." The city commissioner told her, "Don't worry. Master Cheng Yuan says, an open heart attracts good fortune and blessings." The member listened and reflected on herself. She realized that her heart indeed seems to be entangled by something that prevented her from opening up. This was the reason why she worried about everything. Realizing this, she vowed to change. From that day on, this member constantly used the phrase, "An open heart attracts good fortune and blessings," to remind herself to be happy and joyful. She also started to volunteer at the recycling station. After working until she was physically exhausted, she would feel joy in her heart and forget her worry. In fact, her husband's business was quite stable, and her children were well-mannered and responsible. So there was no need to worry about them. And as her mental states improved, her family benefited greatly. After some time passed, the Tsuchi commissioner went to visit her again. As soon as she saw her, she said, "You look different. You now seem very peaceful and carefree." She said, "Yes, I am grateful for your words. They have benefited me so much. I no longer need to take medication." At this, the Tsuchi commissioner herself realized, "All I know to do is to memorize this word. Even though I share them with others, I don't always actually put them into practice myself." She could not help but feel inspired by her members' happiness. This is a very good example of how, in spite of being completely entangled and enlightened ourselves, we go to the notes, note 56. Okay. So here they are trying to explain the meaning of the word completely entangled. The Sanskrit word is sakala bandhana. It means being filled with affliction and refer to those with the delusion of views and the delusion of thought or thinking. Entanglement is another name for affliction. Afflictions are delusion of the mind and can entangle sentient beings, leading them to fall into and be trapped in the suffering of cyclical existence. That is why they are called entanglements. Whether or not we have reached the stage of having no more link, if we have not yet eliminated delusion of views, the delusion of thinking, then we are still considered completely entangled. In general, completely entangled is another way to refer to unenlightened beings. Okay, so this is the meaning. So we'll read the passage earlier again. This is a good example of how, in spite of being completely entangled and enlightened beings ourselves, we can still enable others to attain wisdom. Our minds are entangled by the bonds of family, society, interpersonal conflicts, and many other afflictions. So we are unable to see clearly and open up our hearts. Yet if we can hear one good teachings, memorize it, and pass it on to benefit others, those who hear it can apply it joyfully and find peace of mind. They will always be able to attain wisdom and eliminate their delusion to attain liberation. So this part is very important. They will always be able to attain wisdom and eliminate their delusion to attain the liberated mind. So whatever good teachings that you come across, memorize them, then reflect, contemplate. It can help you. It can also help others. That's why when you receive certain type of Dhamma code or unique code that we have come up with, you repeat them, you chant them. It can bring forth a lot of wisdom, a lot of good understanding. And in the course of cultivation, studying Dhamma, these things are pretty common and very important. That's why over the years, ever since I started my cultivation, I like certain type of sentence which are very meaningful. Then when I hear them, I normally reflect on them, contemplate on them, then I make use of it. Like that song I told you, the Mandarin song, Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei. The past is already gone. You can only recall them through memory. So all these are very meaningful. To let you understand the reality is in the here and the now, not in the thinking. The thinking is a delusion. If you think without clarity of mind, without understanding, without mindfulness or awareness within, then the thinking becomes heedless thinking. Heedless thinking are thoughts which are, we call them wrong thought, deluded thought with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's why you are heedless. You are not heedful because you lack mindfulness. The heedful never die. It's because they are ever mindful, constantly meditative. Whereas the heedless are as if dead because they lack the trained mind that is heedful and aware. So understanding this can help, can really bring forth a lot of understanding. So Dhammapadavas are example of all this good saying. Then when I went through life, I went through cultivation, I hear a lot of very good saying which I like to reflect upon, contemplate and make use of it. And a lot of them I have shared with you all. I heard them from my teacher too. So sometimes it's very strange. Teachers, our guide, Dhamma masters, when they share, they quote certain type of wisdom words which they themselves have realized or helped them in one way or other. Then they share it with the people, with all beings. If you have the affinity and the Dhamma and the understanding, you will rejoice, you will be able to pick it up, and it can be really useful. So a lot of things that I learned from my teacher, I receive it through hearing. That's it. Most of my teacher, they don't really teach me like the formal way of teaching people. Like what we have gone through with all the sutta class, everything, and we have opportunity to actually attend last time physically. Now, even though it's Zoom or what, there is interaction. You can ask questions. Then you can suggest topic where we can discuss them or go into detail. Then the cultivation, everything. Because there is condition. Whereas in the past, whatever teacher or guide I have, they may not be local. Even they are local, you seldom get to see them. And most of them are not local. And I don't know them. That's why they only come for a while. then they go. Then how did I learn? Because of affinity. When they come, I listen. And when I listen, my nature, because at that time, is searching. It will be drawn to all these wisdom words. It will be like naturally able to understand them and make use of them. So all these are very, very beautiful ways where you can really cultivate, develop the progress, and make use of it to help yourself and others. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So this example that they have given is quite good. It says that commissioner who advised this, they call it the donors. You can volunteer to donate on a monthly basis or one-off donation to Tsuchi. Then this Tsuchi member or commissioner, they can come, volunteer to come and collect from you or help you to make the offering and donation. So in this particular case, the commissioner who came and collect the donation knew that this donor has depression problem. That's why he advised her by giving her a very beautiful saying. So, an open heart. When your heart is not entangled or closed, when it's open, it can receive a lot of blessing and joy. So all this actually help her. Then she really find it very useful. Well, when she reflected on it, contemplated on it, then apply it. Then she recovered. Then later on, because of what she did, she volunteered to help out in the recycling activity. And he worked most of the time until quite tired or exhausted, until he forgot about her problem. And because of her good affinity with Triple Gem, when you follow Dhamma way, you will receive a lot of blessings. Then your whatever wish will be fulfilled. That's why the family, like their living condition, the husband's business, everything, like develop in a very positive manner, and the children to have good grades and were good responsible children, until she finally realized all this no need to worry because they are naturally successful. And because of that, she became very different. The donor became very peaceful, very happy, very joyful. And when the commissioner saw her able to transform herself in such a beautiful manner, despite being in depression early on, regretted that she herself, who had taught this donor how to apply this saying, didn't really practice that saying. So there are people who are like that. They hear, they memorize, they acknowledge, they share, or they tell people. But they themselves didn't apply. So this one, we have to be mindful that whatever good Dhamma that we receive, we must be able to apply them and make use of them. Then only there is joy, there is meaning, there is this good outcome from the action that we have taken to develop the understanding of it, to apply it in our daily life. So this is what Dhamma teaching is all about. Okay, I will read on. We will hear. Therefore, it is very important for us to listen with utmost sincerity, respect, and faith. After hearing the phrase shared by the commissioner, this should remember respected the truth it contained, believe it, and apply it to her own life in practical way. This is very good. Doing this enable her to accept and uphold the merits of infinite meaning, means the sutra of infinite meaning, and reap inexhaustible benefits. This is the same as it is during the Buddha's lifetime, when he adopted the teaching to treat the different afflicted sentient beings or afflictions of sentient beings. So as long as the Buddha's Dhamma body exists in our mind, it is just as if the Buddha were living in the world. Okay. So this commissioner actually just told her, an open heart attracts good fortune and blessing. Actually, this one, the saying is very good. When your heart is open, you are not closed, you are happy. Then it will give rise to good virtue, good blessings. That's why it attracts good fortune and blessings. So we must open our heart. Don't hold on to it. Cling on to problems. Then become afflicted and miserable. So this part, I think, is a good advice. You make use of it. Okay, we go to the next one. The next adapter verse, the sixth merit is inconceivable. Okay. It enables us to be free of the afflictions of birth and death. We can end all suffering and disasters, no different from the Buddha, the Tathagata. Though we cannot yet abide in the ground of stillness, we have the wisdom to eliminate delusion and grasp truth. We are like a prince who, though still young, can manage the affairs of the state and lead the officials. Birth and death are part of the natural course of life. People in this world worry because they do not know why they are born, why they die, where they will be. Where they were before they were born, and where they will go after they die. But the sixth merit is inconceivable. It enables us to be free of the afflictions of birth and death. So this sixth merit is very unique. If we completely realize the principles of the coming law of cause and effect, moral causation, we will understand how precious life is. Regardless of the circumstances we face, we will know to make good use of our time and diligently engage in spiritual cultivation. This one only cultivator will appreciate. Otherwise, it depends on your life. If your life is good, with not much problem, then you may have a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. But if you go through life which is very, very miserable, full of affliction, problems, and entanglement, then it's exactly like what is mentioned. You worry a lot because a lot of things don't go your way and you don't understand what is going on. And you really wanted to commit suicide because suicidal thought keep on arising. You say, why leave when life is so full of affliction and misery? That's why you need them to appreciate life. To enable us to really understand life and appreciate life so that we are always happy, and we can make good use of our time to diligently engage in spiritual practice so that our karmic nature can be taken care of, so that in future when we come, we will be beautiful. Yeah. So all this understanding need Dhamma. Once we have understood the afflictions of cyclic existence or cyclical existence, we will understand that living beings suffer and face disasters because of their own unenlightened thought or deluded thought. It is because people continuously create negative karma and form negative affinity with others that they attract all this affliction and conflicts. So we must always be cautious and guard our body, speech and mind. That is cultivation. Guard our body, speech and mind. Body, perform bodily action. Speech is the communication part. Then mind is our thinking process, our mental intent and inclination. If our mind is free of conflict, then our speech will not create conflict, and our body will not produce negative karma. When our mind are free of affliction, naturally we can end our suffering and disaster. If sentient beings can faithfully accept and practice the Dhamma after hearing it, then we are no different from the Buddha, the Tathagata. If we recite and practice the teaching, then the Dhamma can spread throughout the world, just as it did during the Buddha's lifetime. So all these are important understanding. That's why you must have faith. If sentient being can have faith to faithfully accept and practice the Dhamma after hearing it, then we are no different from the Buddha, the Tathagata, or the great beings, the cultivator of the way. So all this a very helpful understanding. Then he said, if you recite and practice the teaching, because not only you recite, you put it into practice, the teaching which is the Dhamma, then this Dhamma can spread throughout the world, just as it did during the Buddha's lifetime. If the Dhamma can be spread throughout the world forever, though we cannot yet abide at the ground of stillness, our wisdom can eliminate delusion and corrupt truth. Ignorance arises as we interact with people. So the ability to eliminate delusion through such interaction is wisdom. Even if sentient being has not yet attained the ground of stillness, we can at least learn to develop unwavering mind and grasp principle without wisdom. The ground of stillness is the eighth stage of the 10 ground Bodhisattva cultivation, because the Mahayana has this teaching to complete the training to become Samasambuddha. Bodhisattva have to go to the 10 grounds of Bodhisattva cultivation. So we go to the notes. The ground of stillness is the 8th of the 10 ground Bodhisattva cultivation. The 10 ground. First is the ground of joy, ground of freedom from defilement, number 2. Number 3 is ground of radiating light. Number 4 is ground of blazing wisdom. Number 5 is the ground of overcoming difficulties. Number 6 is the ground of manifestation. Number 7 is the ground of far-reaching practice. Number 8 is the ground of stillness. This one I have explained before. Then I read on. Number 9 is the ground of excellent wisdom. And number 10 is the ground of Dharma cloud. So this is another version of subdivision of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. But like I explained earlier on, the 5 stages of Bohemian development, that one is very accurate. So this one, it may not reflect the actual thing, but the teaching likes to actually break it down in this way, which is to me not so accurate. But the 8 crown of stillness is the same as our this what we call the 4th stage of Bohemian development. In fact, the 3rd stage, when you complete the 3rd stage, then going into the 4th stage is equivalent to this, the 8th ground of stillness. So Bohemian that illuminates that nature is stage 3. Then when you complete that stage 3, your whole cultivation become very clear. Then you will have that wisdom to renounce samsara. By then, samsara is nothing. So Bohemian that renounces samsara is the 4th stage of Bohemian development. So that part is the most beautiful. When you reach that part, you will never fall back. In fact, when you complete stage 3 of Bohemian development, you are already equivalent to the 8th crown. It's the 4th stage of Bohemian development. Okay, so you can just read through, and maybe for knowledge, the real happening as you go through the cultivation, you will know it is different. The more accurate version is the 5 stages of Bohemian development. Okay, I will read on. To reach the ground of stillness, we need the 7 noble treasures. They classify this as the noble treasure. In fact, it's 7 of the 10 perfections. The first one is faith. Then diligence is virya, sadha virya. Then precept is sila. How come they add in the word remorse? Remorse is not part of the 10 perfection. Renunciation, yes. Renunciation. Then patience, yes. Patience is part of the 10 perfection. And samadhi, yes. And wisdom. Funny, they put in the word remorse. The Mandarin. Note 57. 8 stage of the 10 ground of Bodhisattva development. To reach the ground of stillness, we need the 7 noble treasure. Sadhya. Oh, never mind. My wife can't find the page. Anyway, you just keep in mind, it's supposed to be part of the 10 perfection. Here, strangely, they put in the word remorse. Remorse is like... chanhui. Oh, that is not remorse. Chanhui is not remorse. Oh, means the translation is wrong. It's supposed to be chanhui. Means repentant. Repentant. Repentant is not remorse. Remorse is a negative connotation of the mindset. Yeah, number 4, yes. Chanhui. So the Mandarin version is more accurate, yeah. That's why the translation here is wrong. It should be the cultivation of repentance. So you put in repentance, then it can be one of the perfection. Yeah, okay. being replete with the seven noble treasure is the same as abiding on the ground of stillness. So this one, to reach this eighth stage, means you must perfect this seven great virtue or seven perfections. Okay, we go on. The first of the seven noble treasure is faith. Faith is the source of the way. So this one we all know. That's why you must have faith. Without faith, you cannot move. Faith is the first of the five spiritual faculties. Saddha. Saddha is very important. When you have faith in yourself, faith in your teacher, in your guide, in the Buddha Dhamma, in the Buddha, in the Triple Gem, you progress very fast. Your spiritual teaching needs spiritual faculty to understand. So the first spiritual faculty that can make our mind very, very strong and full of confidence is faith. So you must have faith. That's why they always say faith is the source of the way. Faith is the mother of all goodness, all merits. It is the greatest source of strength for spiritual practitioner. That's why with faith, you will have the virya. And you will persevere. So faith is very important. If you have faith in the Buddha's teaching and accept them, we can unlock our wisdom. This is very true. This is the treasure of faith, the power of faith. Of course, this does not refer to materialistic treasure, but to the intangible treasure of merits and virtue. Second is the treasure of diligence or virya. When we are engaged in spiritual practice, we must be diligent. In fact, virya is what we call a type of energy inside us. Spiritual tenacity, a very strong driving force. The spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate through understanding the importance of such teaching, the beauty of such teaching. So when we are engaged in spiritual practice, we must have virya, which means we must be disciplined, hardworking, and frugal. Means we must also have that spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way. Otherwise, if we become indolent, means lazy, we will stop wherever we are and no longer be able to advance. Then even if we have faith in the Buddha Dhamma, we cannot realize anything. Third is the treasure of holding precepts. Actually, precept is very important. It helps you to avoid evil. Although we have the faith and diligence to practice the Dhamma, if we do not uphold precepts in our action and conduct, both the Buddha Dhamma and our own character will be undermined. Precept can prevent wrong, stop evil. That's why it prevents us from committing evil. Therefore, we are truly a treasure. Therefore, they are truly a treasure. Fourth is a treasure. This one should be repentant, not remorse. Sense of shame, Sense of shame, sense of shame, My wife just now pronounced wrongly, I thought it's repentant. Chan kui, the sense of shame, So it's not so appropriate, this word remorse. When capable of developing a sense of shame, we will think twice before we act and carefully consider how to safeguard our integrity, means our sincerity. then we will not easily make mistakes or become arrogant and think we are always right. We will not be afraid of negative comments or criticism as long as we genuinely love ourselves and have a clear conscience. If we are humble towards others, we do not incur our criticism. Oh, sorry, we do not incur their criticism and will be able to establish an example or character. Faith is a treasure of renunciation. Since we are learning the Buddha's way, we need to listen to the Dhamma, practice all of the principles, and learn how to renounce affliction and ignorance. So renunciation is very important. You can renounce many things. So renunciation, the most important one is to renounce affliction and ignorance. Six is the treasure of patience. Kanti, life is not perfect. 8 or 9 things out of 10 do not go the way we want them to. If we cannot remain patient in the face of minor adversity, it will be only too easy for us to lose our spiritual aspiration. If we can be patient, the whole world will open up for us. So this is quite a good example. Actually, patience is very important. Perseverance comes from very deep understanding of patience. Patience, endurance with wisdom is the correct version of patience, not the one that's suppressed. So when you have patience born of wisdom, then that is really the perfection of Kanti. 7 is the treasure of Samadhi and wisdom. Spiritual practice requires the power of Samadhi, the stable awareness within, the mind that is unwavering, collected. If we cannot concentrate our mind, we cannot attain wisdom. So this word, concentration, is the word that we have to be careful with. Yeah, this samadhi here doesn't mean the one-pointedness concentration or jhana type of concentration. This word samadhi means the mind, which is a free mind that is naturally collected and unwavering. Because of wisdom, understanding, then it develops understanding that allow the mind to stabilize until the mundane mind ceases to be, the sankhara activity ceases to be, and the true mind arises. So this type of samadhi is to realize your true mind, which is your silent mind, your awareness nature within. So here, you have to make a note. Wisdom can protect us and keep us from the source of worldly disaster. As long as our spiritual aspirations are firm, we can maintain and develop our wisdom and protect our wisdom life. The 7 noble treasure can bring abundance to our life and benefits to our spiritual practice and can help us to interact with people to gain great wisdom and eliminate ignorance. So this is very true. So as we learn the Buddha's way, we must not only listen to the sutra, but also put the teaching into practice. So putting the teaching into practice is very important. This is what we have done in the Dominican Republic. This one referred to Chichia. Whenever I see images of Tsuji Elementary School there, I think about the image from back in 1998 when Tsuji's volunteer went there to carry out disaster relief and distributed aid after Hurricane George and Mitchell severely damaged the area. Reporter from Thai TV recorded some unforgettable images at a landfill there. When the garbage truck arrived to dump trash into the landfill, children and adults all rushed forth to scavenge whatever food they could find to ease their hunger. The people there live on top of heaps of trash and depend on it for their livelihood. While filming at the landfill, the videographer began slowly walking backward to capture a wider view when they accidentally stepped on a cardboard box, which began to move. Startled, they turned and kneeled down to look. There was a child hiding inside the cardboard box. Tsuji volunteers encounter so many suffering people there, but in particular, they could not bear to see children living in this kind of dreadful condition, unable to get an education. So the volunteer repeatedly appealed to the local government for authorization to build an elementary school. As we often say, we resolve nothing is difficult. Tsuji volunteer cleaned up the landfill, helped build the school, and brought vitality to the area. Many people moved to the area because they felt it was a good environment and convenient for their children to go to school. Slowly, this area developed into a very desirable neighborhood. So this one, a lot of blessings, how they turn this community around. Since the completion of the school over 10 years ago, Tsuji volunteers have continued to visit the area twice a month. They provide assistance to families in need and make sure that every children has a chance to go to school. I still remember the images of the children living on the landfill and wearing dirty rags. Now they are in school and every child is wearing a neat and clean uniform. Tsuji's contribution earned the trust and approval of local educators and respected community members. Not only did they incorporate the Jingzi aphorism as a part of the curriculum, they also offer Chinese and Taiwanese language classes. Although Dominican Republic is very far away from Taiwan, Tsuji volunteers have actualized the spirit of our Dharma lineage in this distant country. This proves that as long as we have the resolve, nothing will be difficult. With genuine love and care, Tsuji volunteers cherish the children as their own. The local teachers, feeling their love, also show genuine affection to the children. Volunteers guide the older children to care for the younger ones, as if they were their own brothers and sisters, and they establish an excellent academic environment. This tradition of excellence is also the result of Tsuji volunteers' continuous sharing of the wisdom of our Dharma lineage. After we learn the truth of the Buddha Dharma, we need to verify them through the people and matters we encounter. Thus, we can learn to eliminate confused and deluded thinking instead of becoming attached to the emotional conflict that arises from our interaction. If we can apply our wisdom to eliminate delusion, exercising our potential for goodness and taking in all of the Dhamma, we can handle both matter in a very harmonious way. So the key is harmony, resolve things amicably. We are like a prince who, though young, still young, can manage the affairs of state and lead the official. In the past, when kings had to leave the capital to tour the country, or were too sick to govern, they would designate the crown prince as the one to lead the country in their absence. The young prince would then issue orders and manage the affairs of the state just like the king, and the ministers and citizens would all accept this command and carry them out. Throughout history, there are many cases where a young prince ascends to the throne after the king passed away. Though the Buddha entered Parinibbana long ago, we have continuously carried on the Dhamma. So in our heart, it is as if he is still here. The Dhamma he taught us is in our heart and our action. Okay, we end here. So have our second session, which is meditation reporting.
Just want to say thank you to you
for
highlighting my health issue to Dr. Jayantara.
So he has helped you to resolve your
But then I feel that it has reduced in the
improved a lot.
Actually, my thyroid, I had it for many years already.
Oh, is it? I didn't know.
Many years. I think I actually only noticed it in 2013.
Oh, no wonder.
Actually,
Dr. Jayanta is very good at treating thyroid. He's very good. And he's homeopathy combined with his Western medical understanding and his training. His is a very good, they call it a complete medical approach to sickness and disease, not the very traditional Western approach, which is medication, strongly on medication and treatment. This one is a total solution. We call it a total solution medicine plus understanding to approach to diagnose a disease, then help you turn around and recover and mitigate all the very strong drug that the Western medical prescribe. Because a lot of this drug has a lot of side effect and can be harmful too at times. So his approach is very good. No matter what you are on, his understanding can help you. His approach is very, very good. So far, I have witnessed and found him helping people. They are very good. So, sadhu to you for your good karma.
Thank you.
Sadhu.
Yeah, he has confidence. He said he will go away forever.
He is very confident, and he has treated and helped many people. Very good. Sadhu.
Actually, that day I was quite surprised because it was my working hours. Then I went to the toilet. I came out to wash my hands, and there's a mirror right at the basin there. Then I just looked at myself, and I noticed that it was smaller than usual.
Yeah, the big difference. Yeah, you can sense it. Are the one going through it, you will know. And you will feel good, that the healing process has taken place. And a lot of things will happen. Then later on, when you do the what they call the blood test or medical test again, when it come out negative, you will be full of joy. Then the doctor also will be surprised, very surprised. What did you eat? What did you do? Because this thing is really like very very we use the word like it's miraculous, very like a miracle. Somehow it's just gone. And what you take, he give to you is this white type of homeopathic medicine. Just put underneath the tongue for a few days. Then the process will heal itself and a lot of things will happen. So he is good. He know how to actually diagnose, talk to you, find out, and even advise you not to take certain thing that you have been taking and to maybe take other thing that you have not taken, which is good for your thyroid and all those things. So he is very good at that.
Actually, when I saw the impact was quite huge, you know, I just started laughing myself for a few seconds.
Just
laugh and laugh.
Yeah. You should thank Janta. She's very good.
Radio, I mean, just to be clear, like, I mean, it's still there, just that the size went down a lot.
I know. It will be gone. You have faith. You just go through it. When he is confident, he is confident. He can treat you as he can treat you. So have faith and just follow his instruction and just go about doing it. Then one day you will be gone and you will be full of joy. For your case, 8 years already is pretty long. So it may take slightly longer. But it will go away. I know when he say he can, he confident of taking on your case to help you means he know he can help you and do it.
Actually, I think it's longer than 2013 because when I noticed it was 2013. Then I look back at my old photos. I saw that it was already there, just that I didn't notice.
So it's very likely more than 10 years.
Maybe. Early this year in January, it suddenly grew bigger than usual.
The timing was good.
And I had fever for the first time. Last time, it looked bad only. So I got fever. So I went to see GP. That time also during the pandemic. I went to see, they say they advised me to remove it. Surgery. But GP I was thinking they don't have X-ray or whatever, just ask me to remove. I don't want to listen to them.
You better consult a specialist,
I also went. Then the specialist was a lady, and she said no need to remove lah. But she said if I want to remove, it would be for cosmetic purposes. So I say okay, I don't want to remove. But then I switched lah. I went for Chinese medicine lah.
TCM.
TCM lah, the one you know, the fucking Turin Tan. So I actually tried there, I think maybe 2-3 months, I cannot remember how long already. And then there was one day there was this thinking, you know, that just came out that you know, no matter how much of Chinese medicine I take, it would not be as effective if I were to, you know, wash myself, my emotions.
That one is the most important. State of mind, your cultivation. That's why you wrote to me, that one is beautiful. When you start to actually reverse your negative tendency, which last time you tend to have, your habitual tendency was very negative and mind states are not so wholesome. and very negative, then you realize your health improved, things improve, a lot of other things improve, which is true. Sadhu to you. That's why I say I rejoice with your good karma and your good understanding. Sadhu. Very good.
But before that, I never really pay attention. But this time, I try to pay attention.
Definitely. Oh.
Yeah.
Because the previous few reporting you already mentioned, after you have changed, you realize a lot of things in your life also improve, change for the better.
Yeah, I really feel more at ease.
Yes.
it's not to say that there's no negativity, there is, but at least now I know, you know.
Yeah, you are aware. You are
aware of it.
Then you can deal with your colleague already. Even your whoever, your bosses, your career, everything, you have improved a lot. And you are more calm, more stable in the way you communicate, you share. Last time you were very kanchong, and you a lot of, I should say, you keep on like, replying me in a very negative way, but all your but is to justify why you react and why shouldn't you react because these people are like that. But now different, you start to see all this and you start to change. It's so clear. That's why over the last few sessions, not only I can see and I rejoice, my daughter also can see. She said, you have changed a lot. The way you actually approach life through the Dhamma understanding, and you have become very different. So sadhu to you. This one is very clear. Those who know you, they can see.
Hey, Radio, I also want to share something.
Can, yeah.
You always say that you know it, people after a long time meditating, but when they still get angry, they will say, "Aiya, I still have this feeling."
That one is a delusion. I still have this anger. Yet they believe the anger is them.
Yes,
a delusion. Yeah. That one will help you when you understand. Anger was never you.
Yeah. So I listen all the time, Bharat, you say all this. And even now when I, you know, have this negative, whatever it is, like angry, anxious, weak, I'm not so like how what you say like that. The other people will think.
No longer react that way because you now have the understanding. Well, all these words has its meaning very deep, and you start to have that penetrative understanding of them. That's why you are no longer deluded by it. You are no longer conditioned by all this habitual tendency and negative tendency, the reaction of mind. Well, a lot of cultivators don't understand. And they feel very unhappy when they realize something still happened to them. So they believe they didn't progress. It's because they don't have the right understanding. And that delusion actually conditions their affliction and suffering and misery. But when you understand the whole thing like it, it's very easy to untie that delusion or negativity. Then when you can untie it, then you realize, hey, it was actually nothing.
Yes.
That reaction is because of the wrong view, that condition you just stirred, the habitual tendency. So what you need is to straighten your view, to accept the reality. As long as I have not cultivated, stabilized my understanding and wisdom, this yoni so manasikara doesn't come out, I will still stir and react. But the moment it is stir and react like now, you are sensitive. You can sense it. You can feel it. Then you know this is not what it is. It is delusion. And that wisdom actually quickly come in and resolve it and make it like what you explained just now. It like doesn't affect you that much like normal people anymore. You can like with joy understand and accept the reality that the stability of wisdom is still not there yet. The universal manaskara not stable yet. That's why you still have this reaction. And so then when you accept it, you reflect and contemplate deeper. Then the next time it comes, you'll be less until the intensity one day gone, no more. Then when your wisdom have reached stability, very penetrative, then you realize it cannot arise anymore. It cannot cause any movement anymore. Then there is understanding that leads to joy, and you just smile. That is the way the world is. That is the way things are. Dhamma is such. Ta-ta-ta. So all this understanding will surface, and you will have the understanding to progress, to move, and the joy will arise. So these are the phases cultivator will go through, and for you it's very beautiful. You are starting to experience all this and understand all this, which is very good. Sadhu.
When that feeling passes and I realize it, that there's some happiness there.
Joy. I say there is joy. There's this understanding behind. No more like last time. You're miserable, unhappy. Very true. Yes. Sadhu.
And then the day when PG said that, you know, she has this voice that asked her to chant that Rupan Anicca in Pali.
Pali, yes.
That one also jotted me a bit, you know.
Miss, your timing is coming. You all are starting to have the causes and conditions to move. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, but my formal meditation is not to say nothing.
Don't worry about that. As long as you stick to your religious routine, your daily mindfulness, your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, all these will fall into place because the faith will drive you, the virya will drive you. Then your sati, once it becomes more and more stable, you will actually transform and go to the progress without you even realizing it until later. Later, like PG like that, or Poching like that, you will come to know you are different really. Like all the happening that is happening recently. You start to see them. You start to see them. Because Dhamma is like that. Not until you transform, you cannot see, you don't know what is happening. That's why I like that old monk, the Guangxing Laozang. People ask him, what is wisdom? He said, wisdom is very strange, is it? Some cultivator, when the wisdom has arisen, they also don't know that it is wisdom. But the beauty is, when they encounter a situation or something, they know how to act. And that is wisdom, is it? That's why I rejoice. I said, that is a cultivator who understands. Because wisdom is not something that you can like hold on to as knowledge. When it arises, it's like an understanding that has arisen, like your insight into it, or you awaken to it, or after you reflect, contemplate, it stabilizes, then you assimilate it. That is in your nature. No need to remember anything, where it's not a knowledge. Then that nature that has the understanding, very strange, it will know how to act, it will know how to respond, like what went through. You no longer stir and react like last time, because you have understood. That is wisdom. So all this will start to arise and stabilize. That's why initially you will have this thought that tell you, maybe I am not as good as the other people. My meditation, formal meditation, is still not so good. Where you equate to the tranquility, the stillness, and the stability that people reported. So all this, you don't worry. It will come. So as long as you have faith, you are sincere, you persevere and develop your daily religious routine, your daily mindfulness training, your cultivation, continue to listen to Dhamma, contemplate, reflect, follow the Abhijja Sutta, develop all this essential Dhamma understanding, then the progress will come. The understanding will unfold naturally and you will go through that training and process. Then you will be like very different after that. So all this will come. Don't worry.
Just now you talk about contemplation.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I can reflect back what troubled me during the day. It's like watching myself again.
Like watching yourself in life, in real life.
So very good. Sometimes when I watch myself again, what I did during the day, I got a shock. Why did I do that?
Correct. Because when you are sober with the clarity, you realize you should not have done that. But these are habitual tendencies, the habits that still carry on. It takes a while to root them out. It will happen. So all this, just let it pass. Then as you reflect, contemplate, end of the day, you look back at the actions and mental intention that you have arisen and how you interact with people, you can actually refine upon all this understanding, then apply the Dhamma. Is there a better way to deal with all these things? Then when you have reflected and contemplated, in the future when you face similar condition or situation, you will know how to respond in a better manner. Your experience, understanding, and wisdom, when they become more and more stable, more and more clear, help. That's why cultivators become very different as they progress. Then they have this ability to actually help people, to bring about faith in people. And when people listen to you, they know you are different, you have changed. And they can feel safe in front of you. They can trust you. It's just like when I speak to people, people can feel the difference. Yeah, the sincerity is there, the clarity is there, the wisdom is there, the understanding is there. That's why people can have faith when they interact with me or when they learn Dhamma from me. So all this is very good sign of cultivation has moved in the right direction. Very good, Sadhu.
Yesterday only like it happened.
No problem.
I was in a meeting. Actually, a few weeks back, I asked my colleague because my department just recently merged with another department, so we have new things to work on. So I do things that I haven't done before, so there is a lot of other guidelines and laws I need to read up. So a few weeks ago, I asked my staff for a certain guideline. She pointed me to one guideline, So when I look at it, I was a bit puzzled because I didn't think that was the correct one. A bit funny when I read it. So she checked and then she come back and say, but yes, this is the correct one, she told me. So I use that as a reference to do my work. Yesterday, that was the first time I applied it during the meeting. So during the meeting, we had meeting with the applicant who came in for meeting. They presented their proposal. And then there was one point I was thinking, why they present like that? The guideline doesn't require that,
Oh, okay.
Actually, okay. I was reading the wrong guideline.
No wonder, yeah.
Yeah. I go and ask in the meeting, you know, blatantly, because it's not a requirement. I say that. Then the other manager was in the same meeting, point out, hey, you are wrong. Of course, if it was last time, I will feel so embarrassed, you know.
Because
in front of external parties.
Regulator must be, you know everything.
You say something wrong and your colleague
commented. Very good. You can take all this means you have changed your ego, your sakyadity, your egoic mind is no longer so strong. Otherwise, like you say, in the past, during the maybe earlier day, before you have all this transformation understanding, you cannot take it. Especially when they do it in front of outsider, people will say, you want to comment within the four walls, can, but not in front of outsider or what. Yeah. So a lot of people cannot take it. But the sign of a cultivator is when I say something wrongly, or I sometimes use the wrong word, or somehow the speech has become my pronunciation and my English are not good, then sometimes the Mandarin also confusing because I'm not Mandarin educated. If people point out, I rejoice. I say, yeah, thank you so much. It's only a cultivator can admit this type of thing. Otherwise, you will think, hey, I'm a teacher. No? I'm supposed to teach them, no? Guide them. No? So how can you allow people to say you make mistake and this is wrong? No. If I don't know, I say I don't know. If I have made a mistake, I admit. I say, yeah, it's a mistake. Sorry. So this is good sign. Manyan, it's good sign. So what happened after that?
Yeah, but I do think that I still need to improve because even though I didn't feel that bad at the time, after the meeting, I was thinking the staff who advised me on that guideline, she gave me the wrong guideline, you know.
Yeah, so you can reflect on it. Yeah, this is Dhamma. Because sometimes Dhamma is like that. You remember the law of karma, you read what you spoke. In the past, you could have given your boss the wrong thing also. Same. Then you got people into trouble, and now you have a subordinate or your junior who will tell you the same thing. Then you go and apply it without really have the clear understanding. Then you realize you also make mistakes. But mistake is very common, like you say, this is a new field, a new topic, which you have to learn all over again, that you are not familiar. Especially when you work for a body that has a lot of rules to abide by, because you are a central bank. The central bank has a lot of financial guidelines and rules. And all this, you need to regulate the industry. So you want to approve certain industry, you need to actually learn up all this. And sometimes it's new. You have to draft them. So when I was in my working career, I also drafted a lot of new things that I improve on the existing system. Then I evolve my own understanding. I add in whatever that is like missing, I add them in and make it more and more updated and more foolproof. So this is part and parcel of the career life, career environment. For you, I think it's very normal, no problem. You have to learn, a lot is learning. But sometimes if we have certain type of sang mo, you know Cantonese?
Yes.
Sang mo, you know, no?
Yes.
What is the English word? Same word means you are like, it's better than the word smart, understand or not? I don't know how to use the English word. Anyway, if you have that type of ability, you actually can spot this type of mistake very fast. Same moment, like when people tell you something, you will know one, the not correct one. But if it's the correct one, straight away you know one, you will thank him and say, oh, thank you so much. This is what I need. It's like Dhamma, it's a Dhamma. So when people speak certain aspect of truth, if it's not correct, I will know. If it's correct, I will rejoice and I will rejoice and thank that person. So all this is the career related one, which I think you may be, you may need to learn at your stage. It's a field that is new. If it's a field that is new, I also will learn, but I learn very fast. I read up. Most of the time, I read up myself. Then if it's a field that I know, my classmate or my colleague or somebody whom I know that is good at it, I will consult them. Then I will talk to them, discuss with them. Then I can form an understanding. Then I become very good in that field in a very short interval. That's why this is my ability to learn. That's why when I want to learn something, I learn very fast and I learn it very well. Even playing chess or playing whatever. If I want to develop that thing, I will develop it very well. Of course, when it comes to Dhamma, it's my passion, my favorite. So that one, no need to learn. That one, from my nature, the past, it just surfaced and I can receive truth very fast. So for your case, no problem, Manyan. You can learn.
Rather, you're very simple because I know it's very difficult to.
Not everybody has that. That type of talent, No, not everybody has. Yeah, but for me, I have. That's why I got no problem in my life, my career, and all those things. I want to learn something. I learn very fast on.
Cannot focus. It's either you do processing, or you do policy.
Yeah.
Together, I will go bonkers already.
Because you are not familiar. Yeah. Especially with something new, the topic and all those things. So it all depends on the situation and the condition. But you can learn to develop the ability as you go through all this. If you are able to correct yourself like what you have done over the past few months, in the cultivation aspect, you can apply it to real life career, which also can allow you to learn in a similar way. You only have to change your habitual tendency and your approach towards things. Then you realize you will no longer be like last time, very rigid, very like seated, they call seated, very rigid and not flexible and not able to think out of the box and not able to receive new idea and improve on it or make use of it to actually develop what is important to help out that particular field or interest that you are in. So all this you can learn them, no problem. It's like you learn Dhamma, although it takes you a while to learn Dhamma. But career, I think, faster. You have the approach already, you apply it, it's quite easy actually. But of course, don't expect to be perfect, to be an ideal perfectionist. No, try your best, do your best, that's it. Then learn how to make use of your staff who are good to actually delegate power to them so that. Try them out. And sometimes you'll be very surprised. They actually can do a better job. So I sometimes like to try them out because my technician, my the more senior technical assistant, And sometimes the new young engineers, they have their new idea. So sometimes their approach is very unconventional. And they are thinking also sometimes one of a kind. But it can trigger our idea. And when the idea come, because they are not experienced enough, not enough exposure, so we can guide them actually. Then we will be amazed and say, oh, this is good, your idea is good. Okay, let's look at it. Why not we try it? And then you lead them. Then they will have a lot of joy and respect for you too, because you are accommodative and you are willing to train them and listen to them. Not everything also, no, must follow your way. That one is more rigid, seated, they say. Unless you are very experienced and you know these people are too fresh or too young and they still haven't developed the experience, and then you can teach, you can guide them. But don't tell them, no. You just have to tell them your approach is not appropriate, because without the experience and the understanding, if you do like that, you get into big trouble. That they cannot see the full big picture. When you can see the full big picture, you know they will get into big trouble. Then you tell them, okay, you have to take care of this, you have to take care of that. These are the possibility of what will happen if you just blindly go ahead with the proposal and the design, especially engineering. Engineering, you have to look at many aspects, maintenance, then the operation site and all those things, the ease of maintenance, and all the record, they call as-built record and drawing, then all the whatever that you need. Because when it comes to operational, it's very different from design. Operation, a lot of things can go different way, not according to what is being designed, because sometimes material defect and other type of defect. So workmanship, everything, all this will come in. So when it comes to career, it's a learning process. You should be able to evolve and go into it. Okay, Maya?
Thank you.
Sadhu. Very good. So after that, you develop the understanding, then what happened?
Then remember after I, from the meeting, I have to tell my staff, you give me the wrong guideline. I cannot just keep quiet, right? I think I should. So I didn't really call her up, but I messaged her, she was also in the meeting. But I don't know whether she knows. Sometimes she may not be able to link it together, you know.
Correct.
I told her, you got the wrong guideline. She not really no response, you know. response. After I said that was the wrong guideline, and we also did something wrong with another case because of that.
Okay.
She didn't say anything. This morning, she told me, she messaged me, she said, I'm going on MC because I have stomach ache. Then I was wondering whether maybe is it because of me when I told her that she got wrong guideline, then she maybe, you know, couldn't take it this morning. I don't know.
Just want to take MC and leave.
I don't know. But
you have to let him or her have the benefit of the doubt, because don't jump into conclusion. Find out, no problem, find out. It may be genuine, yes. They may have certain stomach problem, indigestion, or maybe food poisoning or what. This thing can happen. But whatever it is, not a problem. You should actually look at your own emotion and reaction and feeling, how you respond to all this. That these are signs of our cultivation. If our mind state are still petty over all these things, then it will have a lot of so-called what we call affliction. Because you want to go to the bottom of all these petty things. To me, it's already over. We have people advise us or try to help us by saying, this is the guideline. The duty is supposed to be ours to check. And if we know how to screen it and check it, we will know whether it's appropriate or not. If it's not also, we did not apply it. We just go to the meeting, listen, then next time maybe be more tactful and ask in an indirect way. Even though according to your guideline is not a requirement, but you can ask in such a way that what is your reason for doing this? Is it in the requirement or guideline? And then let them answer you. Yeah, they will know which are the correct guidelines. Because sometimes that field we are new, we may not know. So sometimes the group of people who come and do the presentation, they must have read the whole guideline. That's why they come out with that proposal. Because not likely people will add even more things than what is required. Yeah, all these are close to them. Okay, Manjan, maybe that one will help you.
Okay.
Anything else?
Still got time.
No, 10 more minutes.
The pettiness that Brother POC just now,
yeah.
I realized I got a lot of because...
you had to read it. You know, all these to me are not important. What is there to be shy or shame? Happen already. Happen means happen already.
Yeah.
So, he know you, he know me. No mind ourselves, no one or others. It's the mundane mind that is trying to point finger and feel like, ayo, how come these people talk like that? How come they didn't really check? Then they just simply advise me. So, all this is your own internal sankhara activity, the mundane mind talking and creating all the mark all over. In reality, he know you, he know me. It just causes and effect, causes and condition, phenomenal world of consciousness. The mundane mind interact, use it. This mundane mind is for us to use. So use it for the good of the many, not use it for negativity. So whatever you incline your mind on, that is the outcome. So if you incline on right thought, wholesome thought, which is following the right view, Noble Eightfold Path, without the evil roots, then that is the one that Saleka Sutta mentioned. Inclination of mind means the content of consciousness. So if you deal with petty things, your inclination of mind is involving with the petty defilements, the ego aspect of mind. Because to me, these are petty, insignificant things. It cannot help in a situation and it cannot maybe bring about understanding or whatever, so no point. But if you can bring about understanding, then it's good. Then you can have a maybe sincere discussion. Then you call the colleague. I think we need to discuss this. It seems the act that you asked me to look at and apply is not the actual act. There is something else. So we are looking at the wrong act or wrong requirement. Can we now discuss this? Then resolve it. That is good. Or find out. So all these are helpful. So these are the various possibility where you can improve on. Manya?
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah. The other thing is, like, Brother Teo always say that our views are that is that the how we think of certain things is very important.
Yes.
My mother used to do all the cooking, but because of she felt last year.
Yes.
Yeah, so my father has been doing the cooking now.
So,
because I have get used to, you know, all my, how I think, how things should be, right?
I have
lived for a very long time.
Right.
When my father took over,
the
way he do things is very, very different.
When
I look, when I look at the way he did things in the beginning, I feel very uneasy.
You will not be like at ease because it's so different from your mother's way. But you have to accept him for what he is.
Correct.
He is your father, not your mother anymore.
Correct.
That is the reality. So when you learn this, you become non-rigid. That's why I say, wherever there is rigidity, there is no Dhamma. Dhamma, accord and flow, is not rigid. So you can accept him for what he is. Then you learn to observe him and appreciate what he has done and rejoice. Then help him if he got certain mistake that you maybe feel that you can help him improve. Then you discuss it. You talk to him in a very nice way. Can we do it like that? Maybe it will be better. Instead of telling him, wrong, this mom didn't do like that. You cannot do like that. Then conflict already. You approach it tactfully in a very nice way. You through respect, you call him Pa. Can we maybe go approach it this way? Isn't it better? Or sometimes you pass back the idea to him. Is it? What if we were to do like that? Don't you think it's better? Then if he see the benefit, he'll say, I think this is better. Then the relationship between you and your dad will actually improve too. And this is Dhamma. Dhamma way harmony. Very good. All this you will learn. You will start to observe.
Actually, now both ways also can. I don't care. I mean, it's okay. Before that, right, you cannot now.
Your habitual tendency, you realize you are so conditioned. That's why you only understand that way. So people do other way, it like affected you. Then you become like, you cannot take it, or you go song inside all these kind of things. But then you have the Dhamma, it become different. You just smile and laugh. That's why that's the way it is. He is the way he is. And then we can be at peace. Then sometimes we will share the joy and the laughter. And this is how life become wonderful.
It's amazing how just by changing the way we think,
the way you perceive a situation and a person, then your life becomes like different, more humor, more joy, more meaningful. There is more harmony, more understanding, relationship improve. Otherwise, keep on arguing on a lot of argument. Then who argue? The egoic mind, the mundane mind argue. So those are the mark that the mundane mind create through what? Through belief system, views, opinion, and conditioning, habitual tendency. So all this are the daily life type of Dhamma that people don't see. That's why you don't see, you cannot apply. That's the reason why when I share with you all, whenever there is rigidity, there is no Dhamma, that word is very profound. Why did I say that? And then you look at real life example, you start to understand. You have to effort and flow. You have to accept the reality of the moment. Then you realize whatever that has harmony is the Dhamma way. That's why Dhamma is accord and flow, no resistance. That is the Dhamma way. Resolve things amicably. Don't like take advantage of people, deceive people and all those things. So these are the virtue that the cultivator will develop through understanding and through mindfulness, observation, understanding. Then the way we perceive the world, the way we perceive a person, a situation, all this can give a lot of impact into one's approach to life. So if you perceive it with wholesomeness, then everything becomes wholesome. But you perceive it with a view and a negativity and a stubbornness or a rigidity, then everything leads to conflict, misunderstanding, argument, all those things. So these are the more refined Dhamma that you see in daily life. As you interact with people, in your case, it's your father, your family, and because of their old age and all those things, you know what happened to your mom, she felt. That's why you have this condition to actually see all this and test yourself. And this is Dhamma. So very good for you, Manyan Sadhu.
Thank you,
Brother. Yeah. Thank you for the good condition you bring out and the sharing. So I think 10:31 already, we better end. So thank you so much. We will rejoice one more time.
Thank you.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.